A few days before I went on vacation, I got some bad news. You guys ever get bad news? Yeah? Okay, well, I got bad news right before we were about to leave. Our AC broke. And I don't know about you, but when it was like 103 and 106, like our unit went and it just died. And we didn't have enough time to call anybody to get it fixed. We went on vacation. I got back from vacation. I was home for about 2 days. And then I had to turn around and go on another mission project and didn't have time to get it fixed then. So Tuesday of this week, we got our AC back on. And yay, woo, praise God. Totally praise God. We were like sweating bullets at home, my goodness. If you've been uncomfortable this summer at all, if you've been without AC, maybe anybody, any AC people who missed their air conditioning? Okay, yeah, okay, so I'm not the only one. Anyway, that was bad news for me. I don't know. I don't like leaving town when things aren't like settled, especially with the house. You want to make sure your house is good so you can go away. But bad news is usually something has already happened, right? Something that's unavoidable. And so I got some more bad news. I've had a series of health problems this summer. And when I got back from vacation, do you know what was waiting for me in the mail? The doctor bills. Yes. Like stacks of them. Like I went to the ER for something, and it was for my ankle. And like I got like six bills. I'm like, what did they do? I'm like, I don't know what was going on. So more bad news. Like I'm like, and that's what I got to do this afternoon. I got to sit down and sort through like seriously like stacks of mail to figure out who I owe and who I don't owe, and because they always try to get extra money, right? The insurance company didn't want to pay, and you guys get that. Anyway, so bad news. I know bad news is different, though, than warnings, okay? Warnings, there's actually a little bit of hope that you could actually avoid the problem or avoid the punishment. So I wanted to give you an example of a warning. I don't know if you guys know, I have a sister named Julie. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and she has a son, Tyler. And my nephew, Tyler, when he was younger, got into a bit of trouble. And I asked if I could tell this story on him. It was kind of fun. So they were at church. Right? And after church, he wanted to touch the drums. Any of you have kids like that? And my sister said, Tyler, do not touch those drums or you will get a spank. And do you know what he said to my sister? Mommy, spank me now because I'm going to touch those drums. So there's a man who's willing to take his lumps, right? But that just cracked me up. I'm like, that's hilarious. Now, Tyler could have avoided the spank, right? He had a choice. He was warned. And he chose not to listen to it. A lot like, we're going to find out, the nation of Israel is a lot like that. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Zephaniah, which is basically a series of warnings full of mostly bad news. So aren't you glad you came? Yeah. In light of that, it's not a real popular book, right? And a lot like the rest of the prophets, a lot of them bring or are bearers of bad news. So I've got a nickname for Zephaniah. I'm going to call him the Prophet of Doom. Okay? So that you can remember who he is, the Prophet of Doom. There's a picture of Zephaniah. Didn't you know that's what they wore back then? So the Prophet of Doom, because he brings a series of coming judgments, warnings of coming judgments that are going to happen to various people and nations. So if you've got a Bible, I want you to go ahead and open it up and find Zephaniah and turn to chapter 1. Now the warnings that Zephaniah gives come in three different categories. The first category is our first main point this morning, which is that judgments are going to be coming, judgments in the near future. And I would like to call this kind of group like warnings of local punishment or coming days of the Lord, coming days of judgment. So we're going to pick up at Judah is going to get named first. And we're going to take a look in chapter 1, verse 4 through 13. We're going to read. It says, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of the pagan and idolatrous priests, those who bow down on the roofs to the worship the starry hosts, those who bow down and swear by the Lord and who swear by Molech, those who turn back from following the Lord, nor inquire of him, Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's sons and all those clad in foreign clothes. And on that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate, wailing from the new quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, you who live in the market district, all you merchants. All your merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be ruined. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. They will build houses, but not live in them. They will plant vineyards, but not drink the wine. So how do you feel if you're Judah? You're getting your butt kicked, right? Man, God is bringing some serious heat, some serious punishment for them. And that's a little bit scary if you lived in that time, because it hadn't happened and they were being warned. And like, if we were living then, you might wonder, well, can we avoid that? Or what can we do? Or did we really deserve that? Wow, God's kind of upset, or what's going on? Or, you know what, Zephaniah, we're just going to take you out and beat you because we didn't like that message. And a lot of times the prophets were persecuted, you know? All right, so Judah gets a handful right there. And if you read the rest of Zephaniah, several other cities and regions are mentioned. Gaza, Ascalon, Canaan, and the land of the Philistines all get their own personal destruction prophecy, okay? You're like, oh, exciting, destruction prophecy, yay. All right, let's look at Moab and Ammon next. So turn to chapter 2, verse 8. We'll read 8 to 11. I've heard the insults of Moab and the taunts of the Ammonites, who insulted my people and made threats against their land. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, surely Moab will become like Sodom and the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a place of weeds and salt pits, a wasteland forever. The remnant of my people will plunder them. The survivors of my nation will inherit their land. This is what they will get in return for their pride, for insulting and mocking the people of the Lord Almighty. The Lord will be awesome to them. Not a good awesome. This is like a wicked bad awesome. Awesome when he destroys all the gods of the land. The nations on every shore will worship him, and everyone in his own land. All right, so Moab and Ammon are going to get it. And destruction is going to be brought upon them. It's a warning he brings. So this region now, okay, Judah, these two guys, Gaza as well. Cush is kind of like an area of Ethiopia or parts of Egypt, gets named as well. And then Assyria, the capital of which is Nineveh, is going to get their own special, not blessing, but curse really, if they don't change. And then finally, Jerusalem gets its own chapter almost. God wants to reiterate, Jerusalem's actually part of Judah, but God's going to call them out for special punishment. So let's pick it up in chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning, he dispenses his justice. And every new day, he does not fail. Yet the unrighteous know no shame. I have cut off nations. Their strongholds are demolished. I have left their streets deserted with no one passing through. Their cities are destroyed. No one will be left. No one at all. I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishments come upon her. But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. You guys get that? Jerusalem still desired to sin anyway, even after they hear these messages. So I don't know about you. I don't know where these places are. They're not real to me. So I want to give you a quick map. So let's take a look. On the left, you've kind of got the nice geographical map. On the right, I color-coded it because I'm a visual person. It kind of helps me see whole chunks of things at a time. So, for example, you've got Judah mentioned first, purple. Purple is getting a warning of destruction, okay? That's a big area, right? Then Moab and Ammon are mentioned. You got orange and yellow are going to get hosed. Yay. And then you've got green. Green's going to get hosed. Now, here's the wild thing. If you know your history of Israel, blue has already been destroyed 100 years before Zephaniah even prophesies. So blue's already been toasted. So you would think the nations around them would kind of learn. The northern kingdom fell in about 722 BC. And then, not to leave Assyria forgotten, they're up there in the green. And then Cush would be down in your bottom left corner. So that's a huge chunk of the Middle East, isn't it? Is going to get God's wrath. Kind of scary if you're living there then, right? Might make you have maybe some personal reflection about your behavior and your life and your leaders and whatnot. So you might be thinking, well, why are they being punished? Right? Well, what did they do? Well, we mentioned some of the things there. But I thought, well, let's sum it up. And I put all the nations together. Here's their garbage, right? This is their laundry list of bad deeds, right? They've got pagan religious practices, worshiping false gods, turning their back on God, violence, deceit, complacency, trusting in wealth, insults, taunts, threats, mocking, pride, arrogance. You've got rebellious, defilement, disobedience, unrepentant. They do not trust God. They do not follow God. They're arrogant. They're treacherous, disrespectful, and they're eager to act corruptly. Pretty good list, right? So, is God going to punish them without reason? No, he's got good reason. But I want you to turn this on yourself a little bit. Look at that list and think about your own heart. Are you guilty of any of these offenses? Just think about it. You ever turned your back on God? How about complacency? Are you spiritually complacent, just kind of apathetic and maybe in a rut and not passionate? You ever insulted or mocked God? How about pride and arrogance? Man, I struggle with pride. That's tough. Being rebellious, unrepentant, not wanting to turn from your sin, not wanting to turn to God. I think if we were honest, some of those things up there we could probably say are true of us too. But even still, what's going on for them still doesn't hit home for me. I don't quite grasp. Like, they're going to die. You guys get that? They're going to be destroyed. And so I need to like rewrap Zephaniah a little bit. So I'm going to do a little demonstration here. I need a couple volunteers. Actually, I need about 5 volunteers who would want to be part of Coach Black's football team. Okay, it's halftime, and the team is losing. Okay, we're down by 2 touchdowns, and the team is not performing well. So I'm going to be Coach Black. He was my high school football coach. I played for the Firestone Falcons. And often, we would get chewed out in the locker room for our performance. But hopefully trying to get us to perform better. So I need 5 football players. Who's interested to come down and be a part of the team huddle? I see one. Come on down here, Devin. Anybody else? Oh, we need 4 more. I'm just going to start picking people. Anybody want to be a football player? Right there. Come on up here. Anybody else? How are you, Ben? You can come on down. I like that. Jake, I think you need to come down here. And how about, oh, we got another one. All right, we're good. All right, so I need you guys to line up here in front of me and face me, and I'm going to face the crowd, okay? And I actually brought my coach's whistle. Just be glad I'm not going to make you do up-downs, okay? All right, you guys ready? Take a knee. Nineveh? I'm telling you, Nineveh, you have not been giving it your all. I'm telling you, it looks like you're playing for the other team, Nineveh. You better shape up. They scored on you twice. You better stay on your man. Ammon, what's up, dude? They've been pushing you around like a girl all day. Are you in this game or not?
Yeah.
Do you want to win it?
I want to win it.
I don't know, man. You're not showing me anything. Not showing me nothing. Jerusalem, you're my best player, and you're playing like you're watching the cheerleaders. You better get your head in the game, boy. offsides three times? How hard is it to watch the ball? You are right next to the ball. After practice, bear crawls. Bear crawls. Dude, Gaza? Sup, dude? What in the... I can't believe you. I don't even know what to say to you. Illegal use of the hands? What? What are you doing? Holding? You, him, date. Bear crawls. That's all I'm saying. Bear crawls. All right, we're going to do a little cheer, right? Fourth quarter's coming up. You go out there and you show me some heart. We're going to do heart on three. Put your hands in. Heart on three. You better do it loud. Heart on three. One, two, three. Heart! There you go. It's good. So that's what I think Zephaniah was like. He's a spiritual coach, man. He's a spiritual coach. And he's bringing it and he's telling people, look, you better turn because God's not happy with you. So if you're those nations, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? Well, Zephaniah is going to bring it and he's going to tell them how they should respond. So take a look in chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Is this, gather together. Come on now, get your head in the game here. Oh, shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives and that day sweeps on like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you, seek the Lord. All you humble of the land, you who do what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. So how should these nations respond? Get on their knees and humbly seek God, right? We're going to take a look at the next one. Here's kind of the spiritual wake-up call that Zephaniah gives them, right? A slap in the face. A, hey, get with it. Put your head in the game and let's follow God together. Seek the Lord. And here's the deal. God's wrath can be avoided. These people don't have to go down this path. They can turn. And for us sitting here today, we can even have our own gut check and our own heart check and say, all right, am I seeking the Lord? Am I seeking righteousness? Am I being humble? Am I putting him first? Sadly, as history indicates, destruction comes anyway because they don't repent. And not just one nation. The Zephaniah's prophecy, man, they all get hosed. None of them turn to God and follow him. So if you look, Assyria, specifically the capital of Nineveh, is destroyed in 612 BC, which is about 10 years after Zephaniah prophesied that that would happen. And then later, Judah and Jerusalem specifically are destroyed in 586. The whole southern kingdom is destroyed and taken captive by Babylon in 586. Which is about 45 years after Zephaniah prophesied that that would happen. So they had some time to turn. And sadly, they don't. And we get the benefit of looking back on history. We can see what happened to them, right? And they should have known. They had the benefit of looking at the northern kingdom, who 100 years prior had been destroyed. So they should have been watching and paying attention as well. All right, so that kind of encapsulates Zephaniah's first category, which is these warnings about local and regional judgment. Things that were coming in the near future in relationship to Zephaniah's prophecy. Now, I don't know if you remember way back at the beginning of the summer, we talked about the prophet's view, and they didn't necessarily know how it would all line up. They would kind of say everything that God gave them, but they didn't know when the events would take place. We have the benefit to look back and we say, yeah, all that has seemingly happened already to them. But now we're going to turn our attention to some more doom and destruction.
Yes.
Right? Can't wait. But here's the deal. This time it's the whole world. And it's a little more personal for you and me. All right, here's the second point. The judgments in the distant future, right? the warnings of worldwide punishment. This universal punishment is going to come upon planet Earth. That's right. Columbus is going to be destroyed. That's not good news, is it? Ohio, destroyed. United States, destroyed. North America, South America, destroyed. Asia, Europe, Africa, the whole world. This next set of stuff from Zephaniah is hardcore, that the earth is not going to make it. And in the end of days, the end of time, the earth is going to be destroyed in a really, really bad way. You can't wait for this, right? It's exciting. Woo! No, we're not off the hook here, you guys. So let's take a look. Here's the first warning that he gives, that everything is swept away. He starts his book this way. Chapter 1, let's start with verse 1 through 3 here. It says, the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah, that's a lot of Ayahs, son of Ammon, king of Judah. Okay, now we know who he is. He gave us kind of like his four generations of his birthright, okay, kind of his credentials at the beginning. Now, here's his first word, okay? I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. How's that for intro? So I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. That's tough. That's scary, right? The destruction is coming on the planet. And you guys, this hasn't happened yet, okay? This isn't like the flood. This isn't like that. This is coming, future stuff. All right, the day of the Lord. Let's take a look at the second warning. This is in chapter 1, 14 to 18. Picking up in verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter, the shouting of the warrior there. That day, this is crazy, that day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men. Here's why. Because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their entrails like filth. That's gross. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed. For he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth. Man, that's horrible news, right? That's rotten. These guys are getting this local, immediate kind of deal. And then Zephaniah is casting the picture. Hey, the rest of the world, in case you think God was mad at Jerusalem only, guess what? Now he includes everybody, okay? Not just that little section of the Middle East. You guys, that's sad. That's disappointing. That's scary. That brings questions to my mind. Like, am I going to be here when that happens? Does that include everybody? What is that all about? So I want to take a look at this scripture here. What's the next one we got? This is in Revelation 16, 14. It says, these miracle-working demons caused all the rulers of the world to gather for battle against the Lord on that day, on the great judgment day of God Almighty. And they gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place called Armageddon in Hebrew. You guys, this is Revelation 16, talking about the tribulation time. Tribulation time has happened, the 7 years of turmoil and tragedy meant for people to recognize their sin and turn to God. Many people don't. And toward the end of that time, there's this final battle, good versus evil, right? The apocalypse, all that kind of stuff, end of the world stuff, right? And that's what Zephaniah is talking about. All right, so that concludes this section on this category of worldwide destruction. Universal global destruction is coming. The great day of the Lord's wrath. You know what? It's tough for sure to hear that. It's disturbing to hear that. And you might wonder, well, does that include you and me and everybody? But it's necessary for God to dispense his justice on earth. But here's the deal. So if that's it, if we end the story there, we all go home and we're like, dude, that was a bummer of a Sunday. Like, I don't want that guy to come back and preach. He was terrible. Let's never talk about Zephaniah again. Well, here's the deal. Zephaniah and Jeremiah and a whole lot of other prophets brought a lot of bad news. And thankfully, his book does not end that way. And this third category that Zephaniah addresses is some good news. And could be categorized as hope in the midst of judgment. That God is going to save a righteous remnant. There's going to be a group of people, believers in Christ, who are spared. And now we're going to talk about the local part first, okay? That God saved some people from that local destruction that happened. And if you remember, the Babylonians come and take captive the Jews, and they've got this 70-year period or so of captivity. Now, you remember people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all taken away as captives. They weren't killed, taken away as captives under King Nebuchadnezzar. You guys remember that? Give me some head nods. Yeah, maybe. Okay. All right, so then after that, Babylon falls in 536, and you can go back. Come back a slide for me. There you go. The remnant is able to return. And if you remember, the rebuilding of the temple and Jerusalem happens through the books of Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah. And so, like, Jerusalem gets built back, the temple gets built back. So God has saved a remnant of those people back then, okay? Which is great news, okay? That God shows mercy in his wrath to those who follow him, right? All right, so that's the local aspect, right? So let's take a look at the worldwide aspect. All right, you've got the righteous remnant. Now we're going to talk about this distant future select group, okay? This distant future remnant of Israel that hasn't happened yet, okay? It's later in the future. And these are the qualities of the things that are going to be known about them, which is in contrast to all the junk we heard about earlier, right? So these people are going to be known as meek and humble, obedient, truthful, honest, that they trust in the Lord. And then God promises he's going to do some things for them as well. All right? He's going to rescue them, forgive them, praise them, honor them, and restore them. Now that's the God we like, right? The one who restores and loves us and cares for us. But you got to have both. You got to have God's justice and his wrath and his love and his grace together, right? We need that. You guys don't want sin to go unpunished when you see that happen in other people's lives. You don't want disobedient countries to get away with stuff, right? But in the same time, that means that you can't get away with it either. So this distant remnant of Israel is going to be something like this. Like, if you look toward the future in the end times, I believe it's going to work something like this. That Jesus could come back at any time, okay? And he's going to take people with him that have been following him. So that when this tribulation time comes, that the believers in Christ won't be there. That's what I believe when I look at Revelation and I read Matthew and Thessalonians and some of the other end time stuff. But that period of tribulation, people will come to Christ during that time. They're going to have to live with some of the most horrific disasters the world has ever had, okay? But after that time, Jesus is going to come back, that final battle, with his armies on the white horse, wearing the white robe, and the battle of Armageddon, he's going to speak and the battle is going to end. It's going to be boom, okay? Evil is going to get wiped out and the earth is going to get hosed. And then here's the cool part. God is going to remake it. That he makes a new heaven and a new earth. So I don't know if that's answering some questions for you in your mind, okay? Are you going to be here when this all happens? Praise God, I pray not that the believers would be taken to be with Jesus. And when he comes, he's coming to destroy those who have been unrighteous. And perhaps some of this remnant may have had to participate in that, those who have come to Christ during that time. However, God is going to reward them and do this rescue, forgive, and bless, and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it'd be helpful to take a look at 2 Peter. Because how do you live? How do we live knowing that in our heads, that destruction is coming? That wrath is coming. How do we live in light of that? So I'm going to read this to you right here. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." Okay, suddenly, quickly. "The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Since everything will be destroyed in this way, here's the question. What kind of people ought you to be? That's the takeaway today. What kind of people ought you to be knowing all this? And he goes on to say this. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That's a lot to take in, right? So how do we live in light of that? Well, you seek God and you follow God. Some of you guys know that we went on a mission project with the youth group a couple weeks ago. Maybe was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago? I forget. Time's all jumbled together. And on our trip, we had a theme song. And each day in the morning, we'd play it before we went out to serve as a reminder, kind of a pep rally, if you will, to kind of get us geared up and ready to go. And so I wanted to share that with you this morning. So right where you are, just sit right where you are. If you know the song, you can sing along. It's a song by Al City called Shooting Star. And basically, I think it fits really well with what 2 Peter is asking us to do. Now, if you don't like that style of music, tough. Take the message and be inspired, okay? There you go.
Night with a
So what do you do until then, right? You shine. You shine everywhere you are. You shine in the office meeting. You shine in the workplace. You shine at school. You shine doing your homework. You shine doing chores. You just decide in your heart and you get right with God and you just shine and you go all out for Jesus like nobody's business till he comes back. Can I get an amen on that? That's it. That's what you do when you hear about all the doom. Doom, 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 doom. Trouble's coming. Now here's the deal. You know people who don't know Jesus. You might be sitting here today and you don't know God. You don't know Jesus Christ. It's really bad news for you. And it's meant to be. It's meant to inspire you to turn to God. And I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'll give you a chance here at the end of the night or the end of the morning to say, you know what? You want to put your trust in Jesus today? You can. So what do we do until then? Well, I wanted to at least read the end of Zephaniah to you because it has a stark contrast in tone. If you pick up chapter 3, verse 14, it starts with the word sing. This whole book has not been about singing, right? He goes on, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. We have not been singing and rejoicing, right? Why in the world would they do that? Well, let's read on. The Lord has taken away your punishment. Hallelujah. That's great news, right? Isn't that great news? He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. We sing that song, don't we? Mighty to save. That God doesn't leave them hanging. That in the end, when destruction is coming, God saves a remnant. He, for the believers in Christ, you don't need to fear that day. That Jesus has forgiven your punishment. He's taken your punishment, forgiven your sin. That we can have peace and hope and look forward to him coming back. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to Jesus returning and taking us to heaven. I'm not looking forward to the destruction, and I know people and I have family and friends who don't know God. And that motivates me, and I hope it will. And this is where we're going to go. We're going to take a look at five things we can do in light of this coming wrath. Dr. David Jeremiah has a great series on the book of Revelation. And in his series called Escape the Coming Night, he uses these at the end of Revelation. He's talked about all these bowls and trumpets and wrath that have come. And he ends with this. So what do? Well, this is what you do. You walk obediently first. Stay connected with God. Put your faith and trust in Christ and follow him and obey his teachings and his ways. And then worship triumphantly. Like worship like nobody's business because you're being redeemed from all that destruction. A lot of times we think about hell, but this isn't hell. This is like earthly destruction. We're being spared so much of God's wrath that we should celebrate and worship God like, oh my gosh, he's not just forgiven my sins. He's forgiven me and rescued me from all this coming stuff, you know? And then witness urgently, like share it. Tell people about God that it's the warning part. Remember, warning is different than bad news. Don't just give your friends bad news. Nobody wants that. But you can give them a warning and say, look, it's not inevitable. Your destiny can be changed. You don't have to experience God's wrath. You can be forgiven and restored. And I think that's Zephaniah's point, that we can be restored to God. And then work diligently. Work hard at whatever you do. If you're an accountant, if you take care of kids all day, if you're a student, if you're an athlete, if you're a musician, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Remember? As working for the Lord and not for men. And then the last one, watch expectantly. Jesus is coming and be ready for it. And let him find you being faithful. You guys, as I wrap up this morning, this stuff is a little bit heavy, you know? And I hope it sinks in a little bit for you. You know, as followers of Christ, if you're sitting here this morning and you know Jesus, you don't need to be afraid of God's wrath and his coming judgment, that there's hope, that you've been forgiven, and that you can look forward to Christ coming back and setting up his kingdom and being rewarded. You know, but earth's coming destruction should at least make you grateful for your salvation, and certainly motivate us to live and share the message of Christ. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Christ, or this is new to you, or you're like, wow, am I going to be part of that group that gets hosed? You know, I don't want to be in that group. If you don't know Christ, Zephaniah's words and warnings may be piercing for you. They may be difficult and disturbing to hear. The destruction and judgment are coming. But remember, they can be avoided if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can do that even today. But at the very least, you should at least take inventory of your heart and your life. If you don't know God, you should at least have a gut check this morning about where you're at. So in the end, Zephaniah certainly gives us a spiritual wake-up call to all of us. And I hope you take that to heart. So would you pray with me? God, for those who may be in the room, and this is a whole lot of bad news for them. Maybe they don't know you or don't quite understand it all. God, I want to give them an opportunity to change their future. If anybody in the room would want to just say to God right now that you need him and put your trust and faith in Jesus, that you could do that with me now.